It's 4 o'clock and it's time for the Arts Patricia Show.
Tiffany Montgomery, number one Essence Magazine best-selling author, and you're listening to the Ask Patricia Show.
Yeah, this is Patricia Benjamin. This is the Ask Patricia Show, and it's Rubeca Radio.
The heart is stronger than you think, like it can go through anything.
Keeps for an answer or even a clue that would satisfy my every need. But through it all, I realize there's so much to the life than we see. I'll sum it all up in one phrase: I am truly blessed. Yes, there are those times when my road gets so long, and I stumble along in the dark. As I search for the truth, see it all became clear. See, the answer was not very far, no. So I reached out my hand and I called out his name, and his spirit filled me within. Oh yeah. If I could sum it up in one phrase, I am truly face. And I see exactly what life can put you through. Oh yeah, I go through life now with a smile on my face. 'Cause there's nothing that I cannot do. Now that I know I'm not all alone, he's there and I know that he'll see me through. I guess I'll sum it all up in one phrase, that I am truly of the days, and all just as sure as the moon lights up the night, I've got me a life of my very own. I know I've got to be strong dealing with the situation. I say it in my prayer. Tell the world about it. Yeah. I want to tell the whole world about it. I want to tell the whole world about it. I want to tell the whole world.
I've been truly blessed.
I woke up in my right mind this morning.
Best-selling author, and you're listening to the Ask Patricia Show.
Oh, yes, you are. And that was Teddy Pendergrass there opening us up with Truly Blessed. And before that, we had Stand Up by Beyoncé, Mariah, and Go. All right, I hope you're all inspired. That tune has got me all relaxed now and feeling very blessed. Yes, we are so, so blessed. We're all in our right minds. We're all whole in mind and in limb. So much to give thanks for. So much to be grateful for. So yeah, we're here for another dose of inspiration, dose of motivation. I'll be doing that by sharing thoughts and of course great music as well. You know, music isn't just something that you sit down and listen to passively. Music has the power to change you, to influence you, to penetrate beyond the norm. It actually penetrates your cells. So I try my best to play music that has the right message and feel. So I hope you're ready to go today. I've got several thoughts that I want to share with you. And actually, I'm going to share something that I shared a little while ago, but it's so pertinent. I don't know whether you've had this experience where, you know, you go back and you look at maybe a blog that you wrote or an article that you wrote or some thoughts or in your journal perhaps, and it's so inspiring that you inspire yourself and you think, gosh, I didn't know I knew that. It was quite interesting because, as you know, I wrote a book a little while ago, and when I was going through the editing process, I remember reading a couple of chapters and being very impressed with myself. I thought, wow, this is really great stuff. I didn't know I was that clever. You know, it's quite blown away. But you know, when you're in flow and you are inspired, you know, it's beyond yourself. So this is something that I came across that I wrote November, a couple of years ago, 2015. But it's still just as pertinent. So I thought I'm actually going to read it and share it with you again today, because I find this time of the year we can be quite reflective, which is a good thing. It's actually very good to look back and make some observations about yourself and about life and what's happening around you, and see what you can learn. So about this time, 2015, actually the date was the 24th, so just a couple of days out, 24th of November, I wrote this blog. And I actually remember the time because I was feeling very, very reflective, because I'd learned quite a lot of things, and it wasn't something that I had been taught or I'd read it in a book. These were just my own observations on life and some conclusions I had come to, very similar to King Solomon, who wrote the Proverbs and the Ecclesiastes. He wrote and the Lamentations as well. A lot of it is his observations on life. And I'm not putting myself in that category, but I do want to share just maybe two or three thoughts. Then when I've done that, if I have some time, I want to talk about failure, fear of failure, and the experience of failure as well. So I'm hoping that I'll have time to do both. And because this is my little time, I'm taking this time out for myself. Usually, you know, on the Ask Patricia Show, I'm more than likely, more often than not, I do have a guest. I like to share my platform. I like to give other people the voice. But I'm actually going to be using this platform myself for the next few weeks, sharing some of my own thoughts and observations. So this is what you're going to be getting. But whilst I'm using it myself, I'm quite happy to speak to you at the same time. If I share something that you think, oh, I'd like for you to explain that a bit more or break that down or go into that a bit deeper, Patricia, that's fine. Or if you really resonate and you really want to share an experience that speaks to the topic that's under discussion, I would love you to call in as well. If you can't call in, if it's not convenient, but you can drop me a note on Facebook, please do so. If you're my friend, you already know how to do that. And you also can comment on my page. If you're following me on Twitter, which is I am Arts Patricia, then you can DM me there as well. And I will read it out. If you want to be kept anonymous, just let me know and I will give you a different name and just share your thoughts if you send it personally. If you write it on my page, then of course that's fine because that's open to the public. But I'm quite happy for you to comment and share. And if you have, if you're able to ring in, please do so. The number is 0208 671 5659. 0208 671 5659. All right, so I'm going to share this 3 points here. And this is something I've learned. So it's an experience and it's a conclusion that I came to. The first one was, when God updates your identity, you have to let go of the people around you who are clinging to the emotional familiarities of the old you. Now, I could just stop there because that is everything in that sentence. I'm going to say it again. When God updates your identity, you have to let go of the people around you who are clinging to the emotional familiarities of the old you. Life is about revelation and progression. You know, sometimes people use this expression, oh, this is just me, this is who I am, I've always been like this, this is just me, I'm being myself. And I think to myself, well, you know, if this is just you and you haven't moved on for the last 5 years, this is not really a good thing. Because life is about growing, yeah, it's about developing. So if we repeat a certain type of behavior and we say this, oh, I can't help myself, that's just me, that's who I am, that's not really a good excuse, because we're supposed to grow, we're supposed to develop, we're supposed to mature, yeah, progression. So life is about revelation and it should be progressive. So it's about growth. So the more that we learn, the more we grow and develop, the more we are able to expand and are able to do. Because if you just operate at the level of knowledge that you had 10 years ago, you wouldn't be able to do more. You'd just be stuck at that stage. But the more you grow and develop, you expand, you're able to function on a higher level. And so understanding that life is a journey and that I'm on the way to my destination, it means I have to be prepared to move from my previous comfort zones. We've all got them, haven't we? We've all got previous comfort zones. But the thing is, are you still there? Now, comfort zones can be people. They can be people that you associated with before. And I have to be willing to let go of who I was. Now, that was such a revelation. That whole paragraph was something that I had to learn. Nobody told me that. Even if I had, it would have, even if they had told me, it would have just been words. But it was something I had come to understand and to recognize. And that led me to number two. I'm going to give you some examples of these in a minute. I'm just going to read through the actual points. So there's only 3 points. This is the second one. So the first one is about when you update, when your identity is updated, you actually have to let go of the people that are happy for you to remain as you were. And they kind of want to cling to that person. Number two is, don't allow just anybody to speak over your life. Now, this was a big one for me. I learned it at my cost. Sometimes, because we consider that somebody is more advanced than us, you know, we assume that they are, we think that they know more about us, but they don't. And it's so necessary to recognize that not everyone has the right to speak into your life or your destiny. Not everyone understands you. God will bring into your life those who do. And thank goodness for that. They will be those who have trodden the path, the same path before. You will recognize them the same way that I did. There will be a resonance, a connection, an understanding. And you'll just know that you are birds of the same feather. These are the people you need to keep close. And you may not know them personally, you may know them remotely, because they may be public figures, for example. But that's not necessarily a problem, because they may be people who have written books, so you could read their books. If they write blogs, then you can follow their blogs. If they speak, if they have a broadcast, you can listen to their podcast, or if they're in the public arena, you can go to their seminars, go to their talks, go to their workshop, go to their conferences. If you have access to them, meet them for lunch, meet them for coffee, whatever. Essentially, learn from them by all and any means necessary. Okay, so number three, when dealing with others, until you solve their problems and address their needs, you are not relevant. Yes, that's simple. If you can't help them, you really have nothing to say. If you can't help a person, what have you got to say? You're just talking, aren't you? First of all, meet someone's needs, and then you will have their attention. Then you have their interests. You need to speak to what is their pain, speak to their situation, and that way you become relevant. Give the people what they need and want. Find out how they want it, and then go ahead. Be a problem solver. Because that's why we're actually all here on the earth, is to be an answer to someone's need, to be an answer to someone's prayer, to be a solution. And once we identify that and walk in alignment, then there's no stopping you. So ask yourself, what needs can I meet? What answers can I provide? These are the real questions we must ask ourselves. Now, there's a lot of information in there. There's actually quite a lot of meat as well, because these are real questions. And they're questions that we have to ask ourselves. Otherwise, we're just here. And what are you here doing? If you're not making a difference, if you're not providing an answer, if you're not a solution or part of a solution, a part of the answer, then you have to ask, then are you where you're meant to be? Because I know if you're functioning where you're supposed to be, you're going to be effective and you're going to be making that difference. So you find that people will actually listen to you because you are doing something that's affecting them in a good way. You know, in the Bible, we read the Bible, we see where Jesus was often talking to crowds and multitudes, but sometimes he would speak to people one-on-one, and he was always very relevant, always speaking exactly to them, to their needs, even frighteningly so, even revealing things that they hadn't even confessed to. But he knew their situation. He was very, very on point. And in that way, if we can be exactly the same, that we are relevant and we speak to their needs, but not only their intellectual needs or emotional needs, but physical needs. Because when the people were hungry, he didn't send them away. He met their physical needs as well. So I'm not saying that you have to go out and, you know, feed everybody. The point that I'm making is our relevance. So you have to be relevant to people where they're at in their lives. And then when you've met their outstanding need, when you've met their pain, when you've come up with the prescription for their pain, then you can speak maybe to that larger need that they have, which is to know Christ. When we can speak to that, because we're actually addressing that thing that concerns them. But I want to go back, like I said, I've got examples of all of these things, and I just wanted to share just a couple. I think specifically number one, when God updates your identity, you have to let go of people around you who are clinging to the emotional familiarities of the old you. And the reason why you really need to do that is that it can keep you back, because you'll actually begin to just fit in, because it's easy to do what you've always done. That's the thing, because you've always done it, you do it with ease, you've done it easily, you're familiar with it, you just stick to it. Because to move and to make that transition requires more. And so if people aren't demanding that from you, you can stay exactly where you are. Now, I remember when I was full time in pastoral work for over 10 years, and that was all I did. And my world was very really in one area, just in one department, really. And that was the church. If I was going out, it was to a conference, it was to a seminar, or I was asked to speak somewhere. They booked me for a month. They say, can you come and speak on this? And that was my life. And that was all great. And then when I felt the Lord moving me out and giving me messages that weren't for people of faith, and that weren't even necessarily speaking of faith, but speaking to other needs that they had, I found people that were just used to me in my old position, they thought, oh, there's something wrong. You know, she's losing the plot, she's losing the vision, or, you know, their own version of that. And so I had to know and be very clear in myself that God was actually giving me a new pulpit. He's given me a new audience. He's given me a new congregation. Now, because I didn't have anybody to model, there was no one doing exactly that, it was very difficult, because if I hadn't been very sure, then I would have thought, well, yeah, let me just do what I've always done. I'm a minister. This is what I do. I'm in the church. But God had something new for me. And what I found was that when I stepped out, particularly when I trained as a life coach, I mean, that was like an amazing time in my life. So rewarding. In fact, the most fulfilling I've ever been since, including ministry, life coaching was most fulfilling. And I feel that was because it wasn't just spiritual, because when you're in ministry, people speak to you on spiritual matters. Of course, that doesn't make sense. But then when they were having other problems, relational problems, or just personal stuff, they didn't necessarily come to me with that, or they'd come for prayer, you know. But, you know, there are other, we are not just spirit beings, you know, we're spirit, soul and body, made up of mind, will and emotions. And sometimes we kind of gloss over those things because we think prayer solves it all. And whilst prayer and provides a great foundation, is not the total answer. You know, I know we like to have these phrases, you know, prayer is the key and all these things, which it is the key, but there's more than one key. All right. And so we just have to be much more comprehensive in our approach in meeting the needs of humanity. And I found through coaching, it gave me that tool. And it was just amazing, the things that happened in my practice. I'd always have to keep a box of tissues nearby, because people would just be so emotional, because God was delivering them. God has so many ways of meeting our needs, so many ways of giving us freedom. And you know, it's just been very open of how the Lord wants to do that. And so where my life coach hat gave me just so many ways of reaching people, and different types of people as well, which was fantastic. And I love doing it. And I love the mix and the diversity of people that came to me. It was great. And I felt so fulfilled. In fact, I think I've shared on this show before that I think I'd had like an early day. I think my first client was at 9 o'clock in the morning, and my last client was at 8. So I was like 9 till 9. It's like a long day. And I remember being on the way home. This was like about 9:35, so quite late. And instead of feeling like stressed and, oh my God, I'm so tired, I can't wait to get home, I was so wired, I was so alive, I just felt so great. It was just a great feeling, particularly as I look back over the day and the people that I'd spoken with, that I'd coached, etc. And I remember just having this great feeling of peace and happiness and just all everything good. And I remember thinking, oh, is this normal? Is this okay? You know, I actually sent the text to my friend and said, is it okay to be this happy? You know, so he comes back to me and says, well, Patricia, if you're feeling this good, you're obviously, you're in the top 10% of people who are in their purpose and they're doing what they're called to do. And that was great for me to hear. But I also thought, my God, yeah, really? So only 10% of people are doing something that they love. The rest of us are trying to get paid. That's not a life, is it? But I mean, the point I'm going back to is that I could have stayed in the ministry, because I've been in church all my life. I've never not been in church. So when God began to expand expand my territory, I had to be very careful of those whose thinking hadn't shifted, whose thinking was exactly the same, and just be aware not to fall back into that. Because I would not have been awarded the opportunities that I had been awarded. And so, yes, life is about revelation and progression. And so I want to encourage you, like, this is November. We have like a month left, 5 weeks of 2017. That's scary, isn't it? So thinking, you know, please don't wait till January 1st to come up with some goals. Think about it now, you know, position yourself right now and think about, okay, where am I going? Am I still in my comfort zone? Am I pressing through? Am I looking to grow? Am I just, what's the word? Just sort of trotting along. That really isn't life, you know. Just dig a little bit deeper. I just very much want to encourage you, because life should be about growing. And it should feel uncomfortable. It should feel a bit scary. You should feel nervous. That's all fine. You know, like the man says, you've got to jump. And the wings will come on the way down, okay? And the other thing is, number two, don't allow just anybody to speak over your life. Oh my gosh, this was one for me. I had somebody, I respected her so much, the woman of God, very anointed. But, you know, if I had followed her, I would have stopped doing radio. I would have stopped doing anything media-wise because, you know, it was the devil. And I just had to be back in the ministry, you know. And it's very hard because it's somebody I had a lot of respect for. But everything that she was saying, it was just bouncing back off of me. And I just knew this wasn't God. I knew this was her. This is why I want to say, don't allow anybody, even if you think well of them spiritually, it doesn't mean they have the right to speak over your life. So I had to put it to one side and then really speak to the Lord about it. And it was just amazing because he had me go to YouTube and I found this video that I'd never come across before, but it was so pertinent and it was so salient to my situation. It just spoke in depth. I don't know how many of you have heard of the Seven Mountain Prophecy, but in a nutshell, it talks about, you know, the seven areas of life, whether it be education, politics, the church, media, entertainment, and different elements of life. And what the prophecy was that the church mountain, so to speak, that we were just in the church and we were doing everything in the church, but then the church was not having an effect on politics, it wasn't having an effect on government, it wasn't having an effect on education or entertainment, but we were very busy in the entertainment mountain. But then nobody from the church mountain was being effective in any other area. And the whole point of it was that those of us in the church mountain, that's great, but the whole point is to have an effect in those other areas, and that's what God wanted. And he focused, one of the mountains was entertainment and media, and he very much went into depth on that, and that was very helpful for me, very much so. So even if I had been shaken or thought, oh my gosh, I've got it wrong, maybe God doesn't want me to be doing this, I should just go back and do what I've always been doing, this was so in depth. It was like 7 hours of teaching. You know, couldn't have asked for more. So fantastic. And so that just encouraged me and just made me know, yeah, you know, this isn't something that's new with you. God is doing something, you know, across the globe, and this is something that you are going to be a part of. And so don't worry about it if people around you aren't the same. That's okay, but you've got to know for yourself. And so I very much want to say to you, you have to know who you are, you've got to know your calling, you've got to understand yourself, because there are other people who may be spiritual, but they don't have the word of the Lord for your life. But you need to know for yourself, and there will be people that God will put before you who you will connect with. There'll be resonance there, there'll be a connection, and so you can learn from them, you can follow them, you can listen to them, because he's not going to just let you sort of muddle your way through. There will be people there, and I have found that many times over, and it's been a real blessing. So that second thing is, don't let anybody, just anybody, speak over your life. That's important. And number three, I don't need to go into this one too much, but basically when you're dealing with other people, to be relevant, you need to address their issues. You might think they need something in particular, but it may be that right at that time, all they can think about is their need, you know, their situation, their pain, what they're going through. And if you can do something that addresses that, then you will find that you have their attention. So you're listening to The Real Love Show. No, you're not. You're listening to The Arts Patricia Show. And I want you to stay listening, because I've got some more on the other side.
Defeat. The sick misery. And hold on to my free will. I'll overcome all the hills.
I ain't no progress without struggles, and nothing's promised without hustle. It took all of my patience, basement trying to pay rent, down and out, got talked about, but found my way out.
I knew it would come.
Look at me now,
the days I had now, my best is yet to come. My day in the sun.
Well, I really, really like that. That's Shelby J there with My Day in the Sun. Hope you're ready for your day in the sun, and you're more likely to get to your day in the sun if you take in these words of encouragement and some pointers today. Let me just go over them quickly. We're saying it's time to reflect, time to learn some lessons. First lesson that I shared with you, things I had to understand, is that when God updates your identity, you have to let go of people around you who are clinging to the old emotional familiarities of you. It just means they're more comfortable with the you that they've always known. But if you want to progress, you've got to come out of that comfort zone and go to where you're being led. Second is, don't allow anybody, just anybody I should say, because the right people, you want them to speak over your life, but don't let just anybody And don't assume because someone's more advanced than you, or you think that they know more, they're more experienced, that doesn't necessarily qualify them to speak over your life. Yeah, because Elisha, you know, he had his Elijah. So look to see who God will send you as a mentor. They say when the student is ready, then the master appears. So when you're ready, when you said yes to God, I'm ready to move on, you'll find he'll send you the right people. And be relevant to other people. So even if you have some great message or something you believe that they need, you need to actually speak to what they need. Speak to their pain. Become relevant. Because once you've done that, then you will have their attention. So important. All right, we've got 5 minutes, but I want to talk about failure. I've got a new client that's just booking out of me today, and she said she was quite emotional because she was looking over her life. I like to send people like questionnaires before I take them on, a client intake questionnaire, and it gets them to ask some quite deep questions about themselves and where they are, where they're going, before we actually even begin coaching. She was saying she felt very emotional. And there were times she looked back, she felt as if she had failed. But I said to her, listen, you know, we have that. I mean, I have that at least once a week. That's quite normal. You know, I shared on my Facebook page one day in the week that I was looking back over this year, actually, and feeling a little bit disheartened because there were some things I'd wanted to do that I hadn't managed to complete. And I thought, oh, you haven't done this, you haven't done the other. That's not great. You know, you said you were going to do this, you haven't. And then I just heard this little voice, you know, which was my inner coach, speak up and say to me, yes, but, you know, what have you done? Think of all the things that you've done, because I've had some amazing things happen to me. Then as you begin to look at one, then number two, then number three. And then I thought, yeah, that's great. I've done some great things. I'm really pleased. And I thought, just how quick was I just then to start to beat myself up? We're just so good at looking at the negatives, aren't we? And we forget to actually celebrate the things that we have done. And I do just want to talk about what we consider to be failure. I mean, as a coach, you know, you probably heard the word or the expression, there's no such thing as failure, it's only feedback. That's not semantics. Now, there is a lot of truth to that. But I do want to say this. If people keep telling you the same thing, then I want you to have a look and think, okay, what are the patterns that I need to look for here? Because that is the feedback. As the saying says, if one person tells you you're a horse, they're crazy. If three people tell you there's a horse, there's a conspiracy. However, if 10 people tell you you're a horse, then you better go buy a saddle, okay? Because the point is this, if several people are telling you the same thing, then there's probably some truth to it, okay? So if you notice these patterns, the same things are happening, or there's a theme to the kinds of things that people say to you, then that may be something you might want to look at, yeah? So it's more important, okay, to ask yourself the right questions instead of trying to be right all the time. Because you know what? Nobody's right all the time. And if you are going to be defensive and find a way to blame or to justify, you're not learning your lessons. You're going to keep repeating them and you're going to have the same issues over and over. So ask yourself, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And that's just not to do with business. That can be your relationships. Some people, they can just never admit when they're wrong. I mean, really, they just never get it wrong. And if they do something that's not quite right, they justify themselves or they blame the other person because it's never, ever them. And they fail to recognize that the consistent theme or the consistent element is always themselves. And so you may want to look and see, okay, what is it that keeps happening? Excuse me, I've got a sneeze that's playing at me. I thought I'm going to sneeze and then I'm not too sure. So sorry if I sound very strange, but just encouraging you to look at your feedback. Now, if you've had what we call a failure experience, then some of the things that you can do, number one, acknowledge that you did the best that you could with the awareness you had at the time. acknowledge also that you survived and that whatever happens, you can absolutely cope with any consequences or results. Okay, if it's already happened, just say to yourself, do you know what, I've survived so far, and whatever the consequences are, I will survive. Third, write down everything you have learned from the experience, the insights and the lessons. Make a note of them, read them, see what you've learned, look at the feedback. If there are any messes you need to clear up, then you need to clear it up. Any apologies, then you need to deal with those too. Don't hide behind the failure. So important, yeah? At the same time, as I said before, take time to go back and review your successes. So don't get down in the pit and think, oh, I'm a failure, I'm no good, I've got it wrong. You know, also review your successes. You've got to remind yourself that you've always got more successes than quote unquote failures. So learn from the things that didn't quite go wrong. Regroup yourself, spend some time with people who believe in you and who can affirm you as well. And then refocus on your vision, incorporate in any and all lessons that you need to have learned and taken away from your experience. Now, listen, we've come to the end of the Arts Patricia show, but I've got another great show on the other side. Be ready for some more great shows, some more. Actually, I've got a great guest coming on. Her name's Rio. And it's kind of about body language and loving yourself and healing yourself. Very interesting, very unusual. So I want you to listen in. So let me say bye-bye to you right now, but I will see you on the other side. Take care.